Welcome to the Midday for Wednesday. I'm Norman Gilliland, once again from our Buck studio here. It's been a rich week for live music during the midday. And my guests today are oboist Mark Fink and pianist Francis Karp. Mark Fink recently retired from the UW School of Music after, well, we'll find out how many years, quite a few, I'm guessing, and still performs with the Madison Symphony, and they have a concert coming up this weekend called Music from Scandinavia. At least that's the theme of it, and we'll get into some of that, too, and welcome to the midday, both of you.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here, Norman, as always.
And, of course, you have brought your oboe, which we're going to be hearing from directly a little bit later. But first, I suppose we should find out a little bit about the upcoming concert, and then I want to also hear about what you do in, quote, retirement.
Okay.
So Scandinavian concert, does that provide good opportunities for the oboe?
Pretty good. But, you know, I think almost any concert has pretty good opportunities for the oboe. But we're doing Music of Grieg, the wonderful lyric suite for orchestra. We welcome Sarah Chang, world-renowned violinist, to perform with us the Sibelius Violin Concerto.
She'll be on the show tomorrow.
Oh, really? Okay. And then after intermission, we all come back and reset the stage for the wonderful piece by Carl Nielsen, the Fourth Symphony, Inextinguishable Symphony by Carl Nielsen. It's a real huge piece for full orchestra.
And some nice oboe opportunities in there.
Well, yes.
I was thinking about this. The oboe is not one of those instruments that most of us, I think, associate with as so much as a concerto instrument. I mean, you know, if you look at the 19th century, for example, you've got gobs of piano concertos, violin, big violin concertos, cello concertos, even saw a few brass concertos of one kind or another. But, I mean, the oboe's all through there, but not as a concerto
instrument.
What's with that?
What's with that? Well, our heyday in terms of the concertos was the Baroque. And, of course, we have rich literature by all the great masters, concerti by Bach, Telemann. Vivaldi wrote a mere 17 concertos for oboe. that we found so far. He wrote 37 for the bassoon, but anyhow, we got a few of them too. Romantic composers did not tend to write, there aren't that many concerti, but the best concerto for the oboe from the Romantic repertoire is the Brahms Violin Concerto.
Oh, really?
Which has that incredible oboe solo in the slow movement. And we consider that maybe our concerto as well.
That sounds sort of the one and only Brahms Violin Concerto.
Yeah. 40 years. You were asking how long I taught it at UW. Yeah, 40 years.
40 years.
It went by quickly. I came to Madison in 1973 on a one-year contract.
Pretty good contract. You must have signed it in bold ink or something.
Something like that, yes.
And so what does an oboist do once retired from the School of Music other than playing with the Madison Symphony?
Well, playing with the Madison Symphony is a great treat.
Sure.
And certainly to do that, that means I got to keep practicing every day and making reeds. One of our requirements as an oboist is to make our own reeds. And
is that true of other instruments?
The bassoon.
The bassoon has to make
some clarinetists
its own reeds.
Do. Mm-hmm. But for oboe, yeah, it's a necessity. And I've even been involved in a project to working with a German engineer designing a reed profiler, which assists us in making reeds more consistently. So that's one of my projects. I always wanted to play the piano, Norman.
Well.
And once I started studying the oboe, the piano kind of got shoved to the corner. Well, now I'm studying the piano again, and
that's
I'm
great.
Just loving it.
What
Which is great. I'm studying a little French. I'm traveling. I have a daughter in France and two daughters in Madison. We travel a lot.
One should always have at least one relative in France at all
times. That's exactly right.
What sort of things are you playing on the piano?
Oh, a little Chopin, a little Mozart, a little Bach.
This is something I would love to have somebody do sometime on this show, is to perform both parts of a work for their instrument plus piano. I mean,
wow.
There are violinists and obviously now, you know, oboists who can play both instruments. And have you ever thought about doing that?
No.
No.
But my piano skills aren't quite at that level yet, but maybe in a few years I can come back and we can give it a go.
Okay. Well, keep in touch regarding that. In the meantime, we have some other things. We're going to actually have a storyline here for today's visit from oboist Mark Fink. But also, before we get into that, I wanted to touch bases at least on your work with the Poirier Quartet, this fabulous string quartet, which has been celebrating for the last couple of years its 100th anniversary.
Yes. Oh, I've just been a great fan of the quartet ever since I came to Madison. It's always been a great pleasure to hear them and to perform with them. And a number of years ago, we put out a CD of some of my favorite or favorite works in the repertoire for oboe and strings, including the Mozart Quartet, a piece by Benjamin Britten called the Fantasy Quartet. And the CD opens with a Crucelle, Divertimento in C for oboe and string quintet, actually.
And that keeps us in our Scandinavian mode here, too.
Yes.
As long as we're in that. And what about this appeals to you? Crucelle is not a composer we think of as being particularly demanding of the listener, but is it demanding of the performer? I mean, it's pleasant music, but is there more to it than that, do you think?
You find that he made some great challenges to the players. I believe he was a clarinetist, as I understand. He knew the woodwinds very well. And as Mozart, you know, he wrote so beautifully for the oboe and pushed us. You know, he kind of expanded our range. Before Mozart, the range went up to D on the oboe. Mozart said, I think the oboe should go higher than that. So he wrote up to high F. And even in Crucelle, you hear some high notes. You'll hear near the beginning of this piece, a high E. No, I think it's a very challenging work and a really, really beautiful piece to hear, I think.
So we'll hear the opening movement, and it's a continuous work, so we'll actually have to do a presumably gentle fade before we get into the slow movement of it. And so this is released some years ago now by, was it the School of Music, right?
School of Music, that's correct.
And it's the Poirier Quartet plus one plus you?
Yes.
And who's the other one?
Oh, there's no other. Oh, actually, double bass, John Clark played double bass.
Oh, so it has double bass in it. Okay, that's a popular thing in the early 19th century in particular.
That's right. And this piece is also done with full chamber orchestra, but it works very well just in this chamber music version.
Okay. So here it is, Mark Fink, Oboe and Company, with the first movement of that Crucelle serenade or divertimento.
Divertimento, Opus 7.
Prominently featuring the sound of the oboe is played by my guest during the midday today, Mark Fink, with the Prodi Quartet and John Clark bass.
Well, John Clark was on the album, but actually that piece was only for string quartet. There was no bass in that.
I was going to say, okay.
Yeah, it was just string quartet. And
very
oboe.
Lovely bass end to it, nonetheless. And, of course, quite capable players in all regards. That was the work of Bernhard Heinrich Crusell, Scandinavian composer, and it was a divertimento, or serenade, I think the term's often used interchangeably. In any event, a very pleasing, pleasant musical excursion.
Thank you, Norman.
Back now with oboist Mark Fink, and at the piano, Francis Karp, and we might go just a little past 12:30 for the quiz question today, because we have the oboe as a role player of various kinds that we want to get into. And the first of them, I never thought of this one, Mark, the oboe as issuing the call to battle. What does that sound like? Where does that come from?
It comes from the opera Samson and Delilah by Camille Saint-Saëns, and it sounds like this.
Be the best instrument of all for creating that Mideastern effect, too.
Oh, yes.
I can see that as a call to battle with a little bit of extra spice in there, too. We'll get more into that.
Yes, you heard the piano was playing the horn parts. Now, they have to hold that, sustain that fifth for the whole solo, so the oboes can't take forever to play the solo. Beautifully played by Francis Karp, I have to say.
Well, okay, how about this for contrast? From Samson and Delilah, we're going to a duck. Now, many of us may be familiar with this.
Yes. Well, for many of us, our first classical music experience was listening to recordings of Peter and the Wolf by Prokofiev.
That's right.
It was mine.
That's right. And who was the narrator for the one you heard?
Oh, my goodness. Who was the guy? Oh.
For me, it was Basil Rathbone.
Yeah, right. Exactly
guy?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I used to be so afraid when the wolf would come in. But at any rate, so that's when I first heard the oboe. And the oboe, of course, in Peter and the Wolf, plays the role of Sonia the duck.
Doesn't Sonia kind of get the last word in, too, in Peter and the Wolf, because we find out at the end that, of course, she's still there,
she's,
even though
she was swallowed, she's still alive.
Yeah,
that's right.
So last character to actually speak in Peter and the Wolf. Very soulful duck, too.
Yes. But some people think the oboe always sounds like a duck.
It depends on who's playing it, I'm sure. I'm sure that's true. Some of the sounds I heard you making earlier with just...
just the reed.
The reed, yes.
Would you like to hear more of that?
Oh, let's hear that. The life of the party.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. Well, okay. Back on the more serious side. Setting the mood from the solitude of autumn, how appropriate, how seasonal, from Das Lied von der Erde by Mahler. What does the oboe do there?
Well, it plays this absolutely magnificent solo, a haunting solo, as only Mahler could write. And so it really does, in many cases, sets the mood. In this case, it certainly does. But the oboe is often called on for that poignant moment in the movie or in the soundtrack. to express that, whatever that feeling might be.
I'd say that was mission accomplished. The Einsamkeit, the loneliness of autumn, the solitude there of Mahler, courtesy of the sound of the oboe. Okay, let's see. How about the oboe as seducer?
Right. You don't often think of it that way, but Don's...
Especially if you're thinking of the duck. I mean, it's hard to put those two in the same
category. That's right,
category.
But... Don Juan by Richard Strauss, wonderful tone poem. In the middle, this incredible melody that is led by the oboe and later joined by other members of the woodwind sections.
Convincing from Strauss's Don Juan. Well, speaking of Orientalism, as we did back in the case of the Samson and Delilah, there must be some really nice parts in Scheherazade, such a broad orchestral canvas of exoticism.
Absolutely. And one of the movements features first the bassoon, then the oboe, playing this incredible, beautiful melody. Of course, Scheherazade, in order to save her own life, had to invent a new story every night for the prince so that he wouldn't kill her. And so this is kind of the essence of this story, is Scheherazade making up a fantasy, if you will.
Thank you. also quite effective. Makes you want to hear the rest of the story. Back to, well, it's actually, you're calling it, Mark, the oboe as storyteller, even in these works by Benjamin Britten.
Yes, that's right. Benjamin Britten, the great composer from England in the 20th century, wrote so many fantastic pieces, but we're so happy as oboists to have a wonderful set of six movements called the based on the poetry of Ovid. They're called six, based on his six metamorphoses. And as these epic poems relate, they tell a story and often a change in the characters in the story. So I thought I'd play perhaps one or more of them for you, for your listening audience. Shall we start with Narcissus?
All right, Narcissus it is.
Narcissus obviously was the character who fell in love with his own image, looking at it in a pool of water, and was turned into a flower.
That looks like a little bit of a workout.
Well, you get to play a duet with yourself.
Yes, which can be hard to do.
Yes.
Well, let's see. Are you too winded yet to play Pan from that same collection?
No, I'd be glad to.
Okay, let's see what that sounds like.
Pan, who played upon Syrinx, who was the reed pipe.
Doing the part of a reed pipe there. And these are pieces from Benjamin Britten and his Metamorphoses after Ovid. I think we have time for Bacchus.
Bacchus.
That sounds like a fun one.
Oh, yes. Of course, the big feast and big party time. And of course, according to the legend, it was quite an unruly feast, and the kids were getting out of hand. And at one point, Bacchus has to say, "Stop already. I'm in charge here." But so Bacchus, right, by Benjamin Britten.
End to the merriment, Bacchus there with a voice of command, all of it accomplished, all those parts accomplished by one oboe and one oboist. The oboist is Mark Fink. We'll hear more from him and his oboe, and we'll also bring back in the piano. And I'll repeat our 12:30 quiz question after this right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, we were mentioning music from Scandinavia, this concert with the Madison Symphony coming up this weekend, and Mark Fink and Francis Karp have some Scandinavian delicacies for us right now. In fact, the work of Carl Nielsen.
Right. And first of all, I want to say what a pleasure it is to perform with Francis Karp today.
Yay.
She has been such a wonderful colleague, friend, and great musician for so many years. The music of Carl Nielsen, well, the symphony is playing this huge piece called his Inextinguishable Symphony, Symphony Number 4, and it calls for a tremendous battery of instruments, including in the last movement, dueling timpani So, I mean, there's all kinds of sound coming out of the stage. And those who attend the concert, I think, will enjoy this music very much because it has a little bit for everybody. There's a wonderful slow movement featuring the woodwinds, clarinet, bassoon, the color he loves so much, in this little rustic dance. And it opens. I mean, it's just a great tour de force. And along with that, we're doing a lovely, lovely piece that isn't performed for orchestra so much by Edvard Grieg called The Lyric Suite. And what a great pleasure it will be to perform the Sibelius Violin Concerto with our guest, Sarah Chang.
And what do you have at hand?
And at hand we have that Carl Nielsen, he wrote fantasy pieces for oboe and piano, very different from the symphony, the big symphony, Opus 2, and two movements, Romance, which is an andante con duolo, or with sadness, and then the humoresque is Allegro scherzando.
as promised, humoresque and a great contrast to the earlier movement, Romance. This is from the Romance and Humoresque, Opus 2, by the Danish composer Carl Nielsen, writing very early 20th century most of the time.
Most of the time.
Mozart wrote a lot for the oboe, or a fair amount for the oboe, too. And
Mozart loved the oboe, yes. Yeah. Not only his concerto, but so many wonderful chamber music works and within the orchestra as well.
Wouldn't that be the same oboe that you're playing today, Mark?
Well, not exactly, Norman. Mm-hmm. We have a few extra bells and whistles, you might say. The Mozart oboe only had about 7 keys, and the current oboe I play has well over 30. So,
and I gather, as it's the case with so many other instruments, that the 20th century and early 21st have brought a lot more repertory that would feature prominently the oboe?
Oh, yes. There's so many great pieces written in this century for the instrument.
And what would you tackle next in this semi-retirement of yours?
You mean musically?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I still, you know, I've played the Strauss Concerto. I'd love to play it a few more times, work it in. There's so many pieces that I haven't done. And what's enjoyable about the symphony is that John Demain keeps bringing in new pieces that we have, that many of us seasoned veterans, you might say, have never played before. So, there's always new music out there to explore.
Do you think that new instrument, more versatile instrument notwithstanding, that the repertory is getting more difficult for the oboe?
Yes.
In a word.
Unquestionably.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and as you get older, it's a little harder.
There's that, too. I wasn't going to go there. But
thank you.
Certainly glad that you have that you've come here, and we'll be looking forward to hearing you in some of those symphony broadcasts that will be coming our way from Wisconsin Public Radio from time to time.
Thank you, Norman. A real pleasure to be here today with you.
Great to catch up with you. Mark Fink has been my oboist today, and with him, Francis Karp at the piano.